There are two parts to this reflection on God's Word. First of all, I would like to lead in a brief reflection on the Scriptures. And then today in the bulletin, there is also the financial report of the parish. And so you would get to take that home with you. However, Ed McGarry from the Finance Commission will speak to us very briefly after this reflection. Now, if you had to visit the New York or the Washington, D.C. area these days, on the metro trains and the buses, you'd probably see an ad which you would not have seen before. And they read something like this: "Why believe in God? Be good for goodness' sake." Or if you were traveling along the busy highways in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, you would see billboards with advertising that read something like this: "Don't believe in God. You are not alone." Not that atheism is something new, but this bold face of atheism, advertised atheism, very strong. And the timing is perfect. The American Humanist Association has begun this campaign just when the holiday season is about reaching its climax, when the season of Advent has just begun. And this concerted effort towards promoting the non-existence, as it were, of God. I have to admit that when economic times are as bad as they are right now, people who are in despair, people who are feeling hopeless, people who are feeling helpless, often tend to question the presence of God in their life. Not question, but at least, "God, please, why don't you come through for me?" Sometimes it's a desperate call. I met with a man just last Saturday, and we're talking about how his life has just fallen apart ever since he lost his job with General Motors. We hear these days the stock market going up, the markets are on the rebound, but people whose lives have been affected by joblessness, they still are facing much despair. So this guy, he was working for General Motors, he has three children, they don't have health insurance now. He rides the school bus for 4 hours and barely makes his payments, but no insurance. Anything happens to the children, he's down the hole again. So this despair, this hopelessness, this helplessness, along with this concerted efforts towards atheism, it's really not the best of situations. Now, why am I beginning my homily with this? Because today's readings, the gospel, the first reading from the book of Baruch, hear what it says. "Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery." Gosh, how many people would love to hear that? My hopelessness, my despair, my misery is finally over. And I'm saying this message of joy, this message of hope, this message that God gives of Jerusalem, "Listen, I am with you. Take off your robe of misery. Put on the splendor of the glory of God." How is it possible for people to live that in today's context? We can understand that what it meant for the people of Jerusalem, because the exile was about to end and people were going to go back to the promised land. I can understand that. I can even understand that if we take these words for the whole church today, there is meaning in it. However, what does it mean for individual person who comes to church today to say that the joy, the glory, the hope that Christ is promised, that Christ is promising is mine? I can go with that sense of hope. That's my question. That's my challenge. This is my dilemma. When faithlessness is so rife and when there is every reason for despair, how does our faith in God still make sense? How can we defend what we believe in? How can we, as a people of faith, influence the world? So very briefly, 3 points for us to think about. First of all, on the one hand, if our faith has to be strong, then it must be challenged. Because if faith is not challenged, then we don't know how strong it is. On the other hand, if it is being challenged, it better be strong. So here is something for us to think about. We better have a reason for our faith. We better have a convincing explanation for what we believe in. Because gone are the days when you can say, well, I'm a Christian and I go to worship every Sunday and that's it. No. To reason out our faith, to find the conviction for it, to put our life behind it, our entire life behind what we believe in. So, if someone came to you with despair, I hope you're able to say more than just, I'll pray for you. If someone comes to you with despair, that with God's power, with God's help, with God's word, you can bring hope to someone in despair. Or if someone confronts you with faithlessness, I hope you have something good, meaningful to say. So this Advent, I think the readings are challenging us to take our faith to the next level. If our faith is worth something, if we are convinced about what we believe in, then the presence, the joy, the comfort of God we know is ours, even in the midst of struggle. My second point. Despair and faithlessness, they're real. They're as real as the air we breathe. I touched it the other day. The despair and hopelessness of this man who's struggling to make his family self-sufficient. It's real. Faithlessness is being advertised. That's real too. But the comfort, the presence, the hope that God offers, is that real? Where do I touch it? How do I communicate it? Where can we encounter God? Now, for those of us who believe, we know where, because the sacrament, every sacrament, is an encounter with the real Christ. But what about those who don't believe? What about those who are not in this church today? I'm saying be very conscious of this when you leave the church. God places immense responsibility on us to become the hope, the love, the compassion, and the presence of God. In this faithless and despair-filled world, for some people, Christ will be born only through us. Is God real? Yes, but through you and me. My third point, John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord. And some people are doing it. I want to acknowledge that in this community right here, there are people who are making the presence of God real, and there are people who are taking their lives very seriously and preparing the way for the Lord. Here, I received a testimony from a man who was unemployed for 20 months, struggling. I spoke to him many times. And this is the email he sent me. He said, "Thanksgiving has just ended and Advent started. Is there a better time for a God moment? Had to pass this on to you that late this afternoon, I finalized the process as a full-time employee with Kettering Health Network. I have been truly carried." He talks about the footprint story. Remember the story of the footprints? He says, "I have been carried like the man in the footprints for the last 20 months. So for 20 months, struggled and held on to faith, held on to his faith in God, and today he's bearing testimony." It's another story. You see that giving tree over there. There's a kid who wrote, whose mother wrote, loves instruments, particularly drums. And I'm saying, who in this parish is going to finally get him a set of drums? It's not the easiest gift, but guess what? Last week, a new drum set delivered to the rectory as a gift for this child. Here's another story. Some people from the Social Justice Committee, at 10 o'clock at night, they went about the city trying to talk to homeless people, and they did. Today in this parish, downstairs, about 100 people will have a meal that will take them to the next day. People in this parish put that together. Is despair real? Is faithlessness real? Yes. Is God real? Yes. Because there are people who take upon themselves to prepare the way for the Lord. We have talked a lot about radical discipleship in our parish because that is our theme for the coming year. I hope our preparation for Christmas is as radical as Christmas itself, Christ giving himself to us. And I hope that today we are ready to receive this Christ who radically gives himself to us right now. Here, Christ is real. Do you doubt that? I don't. We don't. Christ is real, body and blood. Please take this real Christ to this real world. Only you and I can do that. Because the presence of God is real in us. The joy, the hope, the comfort of God is real for us. People of God said,